B-Pod Studios.
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Happy Friday! That's right, Solo Zone. Your dreams have come true, your prayers are answered. No Bertrand, no Hardy. Just Zoe. By himself. Flying solo. What do you think we're starting with, the Ainge audio? Hell no. Good interview by Toucher and Rich today. Celtics GM Danny Ainge. Telling you why they stood still at the trade deadline, or at least tried to tell you. We'll get to some of that audio. Mookie Betts, that trade, still a little snag in that, little hang-up. By the way, Hardy and Beetle will be here soon. If you are coming to Boston and you're down in the Morrissey Boulevard area, I would avoid that area because it is flooded. good luck trying to get into the city if that's the avenue that brings you here. You want to stay away from that. We got a lot of stuff to get to today. It is Friday. But I got a lot of thoughts on this Brady saga. Is he in? Is he out? And bottom line, I mean, it's going to affect our show moving forward as to which moves will be made, which veterans will you go to, the type of salary cap implications each one holds. What are Brady's wants? You know, do you really have to pitch Brady if you're the New England Patriots? And I don't think you have to. Like, Tom Brady's been pitched for 20 years. But I think there are four options. And as a show, I think we have to lay them out. Because I know the one I want. And if, number one is, you load up on offense and help Brady. You get Tom Brady back, you load up on offense, meaning it's sort of like 2007 again. To a certain extent. You'll never find a Randy Moss, don't get me wrong. But it's going to affect your defense, right? So it's sort of, you know, retool on defense, blow that thing up sort of, but we're going to load up on offense. The other option is, who just got to the Super Bowl? San Francisco 49ers in the NFC. That's a hell of a defense. It's a young defense. So do you load up on defense, get Brady back, or maybe go with another guy and sort of try and get there defensively? But I think that option is, Jim, and correct me if I'm wrong, that's with Brady back, right?
No.
Like, you don't want Brady back if you load up on D.
I didn't say you don't. I said this four options. I want to get you guys.
Yeah.
I want to know what you guys think, because we're going to be heading into this offseason. What is your thoughts? What do you want to happen?
Well, I think absolutely the worst case scenario.
So four options. You blow up the defense and go load up on offense,
right?
And say, you
which
know what,
I've Brady, stated. This option
bring
number one.
Brady back. You retire as a Patriot. Here are your weapons. Let's go.
And then we'll address it 2 years from now.
Or do you go the other way? Keep your defense strong. Sign the guys that are free agents and really build it up and go young on offense. And just say, okay, we're going to spend the money on defense and go young.
And we're going to score, what, 17 points a game? If that, 14, 17, 16, maybe if you get lucky, you'll get 23,
or
21.
Or you middle it. And you try to do both, and you take away from the future to have this team now.
Haven't they sort of been middling it?
That's what I'm for a while. How many more years can you middle it? That's the question.
Period. I mean, but there's nothing wrong with middling it. Don't get me wrong. It gets you 12 wins every year. As long as the quarterback's back.
If you keep middling it, though, in 4 years, you have nothing.
Well, at some point, that wall's going to hit you, right?
Or you go ultimate nuclear and say, you know what, we're blowing the whole thing up and we're going complete rebuild.
And here's the scary.
That's probably the craziest option, but it's an option. Well, it's four options.
Well, then here's your thing, too. If you're going to go nuclear and blow the whole damn thing up and you're going to move on from all these veterans like Hightower, like McCourty, like Brady, and Edelman, and no A.J. Green, and all this, and you're going to go young, does Bill Belichick want to be around for that rebuild? Because if that's the case, and that's worst case scenario, I think, blowing the thing up, because I think it makes a fan base sort of be detached. You look at the Red Sox.
How do you blow up a football team, though? It's much easier to blow up a basketball team. It's easier to blow up a baseball team. You get rid of, you know, a couple of starters, a couple of the meat of your order. You've got 53 guys, and a lot of them will step up from time to time and be more than serviceable players. I mean, a blow up is give me an example of an NFL team that just blew it up.
Okay, I think, Seattle did it a couple years ago, but they blew up their entire defense. But they still had Russ Wilson.
But they still had Russell Wilson. If you still have Russell Wilson, you're not really blowing it up.
No, you're right. You're right to that extent. I'm trying to think here.
You don't have Tom Brady, though, if you blow it up.
See, that's the thing. You don't have Brady. You're going to move on from Edelman in a year. You know, you get Edelman back next year, but what, you're going to put it all on him again? That's not fair to him at his age. Any amount of wear and tear on that guy's body. See, I just wonder if Bill, with his two kids on the staff, would love the thought of restructuring and let's go and let's attack this thing and let's rebuild it and let's get this team better for the future. And it might take a year where you go 8-8. Is 8-8 blowing it up to you, though? That's the way it feels to
me. Around here it is.
Around here it is, and that's the problem. See, the Red Sox told you, you know, we're punting on this year. I do not want the Patriots to punt on this year. Or next year.
So you want them to load up on offense?
I want them to load up on offense.
Even if that means McCourty's gone, Van Noy's gone, and do you save $9 million by cutting Hightower?
Yes. Yes, and I'm not sitting here pounding the fist saying to cut Dante Hightower. I think you go to Dante Hightower and say, you know, do you want to take a pay cut? Same thing with McCourty. I'd want Devin back at a lower number. But can you get past with Daron Harmon back there? Now, it's not as good as Devin.
It sounds like you're on a middle of it then.
But you're sort of middling it on defense, but I want more power on offense, Jim. That's not middling it.
You can't do it all. You don't have as much money.
And then it's what's Brady back?
If you want to load up on offense, you got to sacrifice something.
You're starting to see that if Tom Brady comes back, he really complicates things from a number standpoint. He really does. Because if this is the case, if he wants to hit free agency, test that market, you know, get wooed, get courted, you know, what number? Is there a 35 out there? Is there a 30 per year? And I know people keep wanting to tack on at 13.5. That's not real money. That's money that you could continue to push off. So it's not like you got to add that money on top. Theoretically, yes, you have to. But you can still push that money back. You know, give them a two-year deal on top this one. Keep pushing that thing back.
Are you comfortable going with a loaded-up offense and say Harmon replaces McCourty, Winovich replaces Van Noy, Bentley Roberts replace, or Roberts is a free agent too. Bentley replaces Hightower.
See, I don't know. Is Hightower really going to want to play that money game with you? Like, you've taken care of him. He's made a lot of money here. And he's a guy that's sort of banged up. Sort of maybe, I don't say a transitional guy, but deals with a lot of injuries throughout the course of the last 2 years. You know, and they have sort of those run-stuffed middle guys now with Roberts and Bentley. Bentley was on the field a lot at the end of the year. What do you do on the other side? Do you draft a big guy? Do you go back to a 3-4? You get that big fat nose tackle again.
That the franchise itself is not going to the fan base and the ownership and everybody who's still a part of it, from the owners to the coaches to the fans, they're not going to abide a complete blow up, rebuild, start all over. You know, let's take this thing from step one all over again.
I think it's 80% people want Brady back. 80-90% that they want Brady back.
Middle it.
You good?
Middle it. That's what I would do.
We middled it this year, and it was frustrating.
So right. I really think you want to middle it. It sounds like you want to middle it, because you don't want to lose any of the defensive players.
Well, middling it, though, means you're losing some defensive players, doesn't it?
See, I think you
Zola wants to bring McCourty back on a short-term deal, don't you low think money, and Hightower back on a low-term deal.
What if they don't agree to it?
Then they're gone. Like Lauren Molloy was gone. Like, we need to lower your number, or we're going to do something.
So, Jim, when you say middle it, I think that you're going to have to be open to losing guys that matter.
Middling it is like pushing Brady like 15 to 20 million down the road. You pay that later.
You're gonna hit that wall in three years.
You push a bunch of money and you try to keep the current guys that you have.
Which I don't hate that because it forces them to find their next young quarterback.
Yeah. You know what, Hardy?
Young quarterback, guy that's not making a lot of money.
And Jim too. You say, well, give me a team that's done that. Where okay, you, Dallas Cowboys had to reset that way. You know, post Aikman, post Jay Novacek era, all that. Same thing when they had Witten making all the money with Romo.
How's that
trying to find the next guy? They got Dak, and Dak fell right into their lap. They drafted Dak, what, in the fourth round? Was he a fourth round pick?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, they lucked out there. This team here lucked out with Tom Brady in the sixth round. You didn't know what Brady was going to be. How many times teams pass on him? 199th pick. They got lucky. Dallas got lucky there. Now, all of a sudden, they got to find out they got to pay their guy. Chiefs are going to go through this too. You still have to beat the Chiefs. You still have to beat the Ravens. I don't know how you middle it on defense against those two type of teams if they stay intact with the type of speed they have.
Well,
you need to get younger and faster on defense.
You don't even try. You get back into shootouts with teams like that.
Yep.
And try and beat them that way. That's how you beat them two AFC championships ago. That's how you beat them en route to the Super Bowl win over the Rams. We'll just go in there and shoot it out with them.
See, I think if you're bringing Brady back, go for it. Go for it on offense. Give him the pieces.
Like, what is Joan Williams? What's he going to be?
I think he has a chance to be a stud.
All right. Then let's see it. Let him play.
J.C. Jackson.
Find him more playing time.
Maybe you paid Jonathan Jones too much money on that contract at the beginning of the year. Now, you could say the guy played his way into it and earned that, which I think he's a good player. But he got a little exposed at times in coverage at the end of the year. So, I mean, there's things to look at defensively. And Bill's going to do that. He's going to bring out that last drive.
You've got to find another Jamie Collins is what you got to do.
That type of contract.
So you have to say goodbye to some people. You don't want to say goodbye to anybody.
I'm willing to say goodbye. And you know where you're going to save money? By saying to Hightower, we're not paying you this. You're either going to take a significant pay cut or you're going to get cut as good as he is. It's a lot of money.
And I think he's the heart and soul at front. I mean, he's the guy.
Yeah, but you're going to have to sacrifice as a team.
I know that. You got to make some tough decisions here.
And that's a hard decision to make because it's based solely on money, not on play.
Don't you think Van Noy's going to get paid?
Yeah, like not here.
I consider him gone. Joe Tooney gone.
Gone.
Gone, gone.
Not coming back.
And they're pretty good at finding plug-and-play guards. Get one damn good guard, get a good center, and have that one swing guy, that Dan Conley type.
You know what the Patriots need to do again?
Stephen Neal type.
They need to find the fill-in players that Bill Belichick over the years has been so good at finding. He's got to have a big offseason. Bill Belichick needs a big offseason on the scrap heap.
Here's my biggest question, too, as he sits there and looks at it. How much does Caserio play into this? Is Caserio part of the rebuild here? Is he part of, you know, or is there a detachment there where I know I'm gone?
I want to hear the four options again from Jim, if I could. We'll do that on the other side. Does that sound good?
I think we need to declare because I'm getting tired of the back and forth with all the Brady crap.
Yeah, we'll be on the record.
Stupid videos.
We're going on the record. Twice the segment, though. So.
No, but I'm telling you, something's going to happen with one of these guys, and then we're going to have to be able to look at it and reset and say, well, do we still believe which one we pick?
All right, we're going to get firmly on the record.
All right.
Firmly on the record of what choice. We want the offseason to be.
I'm back. I got my choice, and I'm sticking with it.
Good. I'm pretty sure I'm option three. We'll reiterate that and go over those options again.
And I think I'm going to completely eliminate another option.
Oh, and eliminate another
option. I think we only have three options.
Okay. 617-779-0985. As Zoe said, right off the top, all kinds of good stuff coming your way today.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Now it's time for more of Zolak and Bertrand.
That's what you put in your mouth in the morning.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's a Friday here on Zolak and Bertrand. 617-779-0985. Four options. four options for. It's a large bottle
three.
Of.
Three. I think there's three.
What is that exactly? Well, they're doing fridge clean out day.
Yeah.
So I've got my almond coffee creamer.
Oh.
And I don't know what to do with it. I mean, I can let it sit out at room temperature for a while, but you know, we've been told anything that's in that fridge, you know, is going to get thrown out.
Can you just tell the cleaners?
I have to get my salad dressing out of there too.
Don't throw this out. Here we go by morning. Okay, what are they cleaning the surfaces in the fridge?
Hardy,
what if they
start
we're in the middle of the second?
He still doesn't have headphones.
Oh, yeah, that's bad. Jim was trying to talk, and he just realized you don't have headphones on.
I just noticed your hat. One of those trucker hats. That's nice.
It's a bit of a trucker hat. Yeah.
It's nice.
A redneck.
Thank you. All right.
That feels inefficient.
The hat?
No, now you have the creamer out. Now you have to do something.
Well, okay, is this going to distract you both?
No. I didn't notice it until Jim did.
That's such an old guy thing, like an old person thing.
Jim had, you didn't hear him say it. He has his salad dressing. You have your creamer.
Okay, so multiple I'm going to get items. One of those little coffee cup holders and write save on it, just like Jim's doing.
Yes.
Okay.
That's good. That's good. All right, the four options are. Give them to me one more time here, Jim. One more time.
All right, you do what Brady wants, right? You want to load up on offense. This is the Brady option. You bring Brady back, you load up on offense, you sacrifice on defense.
Okay.
To make the money work.
Yep, move the money. Defense, though.
Yep.
Option two is load up on defense or stay put on defense and continue to build this defense up. Maybe you re-sign Van Noy, you go young on offense.
Okay.
But your defense gets older. I don't think you can do that.
Just let them lay out the options first before we start debating them.
You middle it is option three.
And describe that to me.
What they've been doing.
This past 2 years.
They've been doing. They're trying to continue both, but you know what? They're getting older. The roster's getting older. They haven't had a ton of draft picks because they haven't been able to contribute because they have older players.
Okay.
You middle it.
Okay.
And option four is the nuclear option, which is just a complete rebuild.
I say option four is, I'm not even going to think about that.
It's probably not realistic, but.
Remove that.
Is that the one you're taking out?
Yeah, I'm taking that one out.
So's taking that one out, and I think we should. They're not
going
to do that.
The reason I say that is because the coach is too good. He ain't going anywhere. And the ownership group is too good. I say ownership group because Jonathan and Robert and Danny, they're not going to let that happen as an organization.
Like, say you want to blow it up.
They're not going to say, let's blow this thing.
From a quarterback perspective, you say, you know what? We're going young. Why would you also blow up your defense if you're doing that? What would be the point?
And Pete on Twitter said, hey, the Dolphins blew it up last year. From what?
Like, yeah, they just got bad.
Yeah, I mean, they weren't great to begin with, and they tried to get worse. And by the way, it didn't even really work. Part of the reason to blow it up is so you get a top pick. And
they got a top five pick, right?
They're
number five?
Not bad. All right.
They're $90 million under the cap.
Are we putting our options, our wish for the options out there right now?
Because number three is the middle it option, but I also feel like number one is sort of the thing I'm angling for, which is, yes, you're going to take hits on defense, but it doesn't mean you got to go completely young. There might be veterans that are willing to stay for less money.
So
there might be veterans from other teams that become available that would sign on favorable terms to the Patriots.
Is Gilmore going to be here?
Yes.
Regardless?
Yes. He's defensive player of the year.
Yes.
You build it around him.
Their secondary will be strong either way.
Right.
Even if that means they're losing McCourty, they'll still have a good secondary.
They've had winning seasons, ultimate winning seasons, with defenses that gave up a ton of yards. They played well in the red zone. They held teams to field goals.
Yep.
And they were able to succeed that way in the past. And I understand that the defense could get markedly, let's be kind, less quality than it was in years past.
I mean, I would say that hasn't been the recipe for success for the Patriots, though. They've been good. They've made it to Super Bowls. But when they beat the Seahawks, they had a damn good defense. When they beat Atlanta, they had a good defense. And when they won last year, they gave up 3 points to one of the best offenses in the league. They've always had defenses when they've won.
2011, when they kind of retooled their defense and they went with the Sterling Moores and the Andre Carters and the Mark Andersons and that type of thing.
All right, so what if they did that again, but their secondary is better because they've got guys like Stephon Gilmore and you've got J.C. Jackson.
I think you've
got a guy you drafted high last year.
I think he could be
a Joan Williams. You're not dealing with crappy guys there.
He could be a Brandon Browner type player.
Like, you're dealing with good players this time around in your secondary.
Okay, you're still going younger on defense to build up the offense, though.
Younger, yeah, but you're not going to...
And Winovich replaces Van Noy, say, that type of thing.
That's scary to me. I don't know if that's...
He's really, a little out of control.
I don't know about
that's the young players get taken advantage of at that position because good offenses know how to middle those guys. Ninkovich talked a lot about this you know, in his early years where he got stuck in the middle, didn't know whether to cover the flat or rush, and you're out there on an island. Then he started to figure things out, and that's what's so good about Van Noy. Savvy veteran has seen everything. Knows when to go, knows when to drop, knows when to cover, knows when to chip. Knows when to stay in his lane or run that loop blitz. Winovich at times seems like he just put his hand down and just go.
So this really seems like...
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Is option three reasonable for Brady? Middling it.
Yes.
Yeah, it probably is. Yeah.
You think so?
Because of the money.
Because he's getting the money or he's not getting the weapons, though?
Oh, I thought option three, he is getting the weapons.
No, you're middling it. You're doing the same thing you've done the last few years.
Oh, but he's going to get more than what he had last year, right?
I don't know.
Who are you going to put? You got to replace Dorsett.
Who are you getting? You're middling it. Well, you're doing the same.
You need a tight end, and you need to replace Dorsett.
I say middle it in the sense that option one sounds like you're completely blowing up the defense, and I'm not doing that. I'm not paying the older veterans the high price. You know, I'm not paying Van Noy. I'm not paying Hightower under that scenario. But
so you wouldn't consider McCourty, Van Noy, and Hightower blowing up the defense? I would consider that blowing up the defense, losing those three guys.
No, I don't think it's blowing up the defense because they still have faith in their secondary. It doesn't totally suck. It's not Sterling Moore. So it's a little different.
Who would be a bigger loss, Hightower or McCourty?
Ooh, that's a hard one. I'd say Hightower right now.
Yep.
Hightower would be the guy.
Because I think he's later in his career learned how to take care of his body a little bit. You know, sort of redefined himself.
He's been very effective.
Well, you also may be losing Jamie Collins in that scenario, too, depending on how much money he's getting.
I think he's leaving.
Based on the end of the year?
I think that's a given. I think that's happening either way, no matter what happens. I don't think that he's going to stay.
So you're losing four Pro Bowl caliber players off of your defense, and that's not blowing it up?
Well, when you put it that way, I guess you could call it blowing it up, but it's not like they'll be left with nothing.
Still the defensive player of the year. You still have some good young guys at linebacker. You know, you got a good option opposite Gilmore. I think you have multiple options opposite Gilmore. And say you keep Harmon,
so I guess
it's a downgrade from McCourty.
I guess I'm option one. I guess when you put it this way, I'm option one. More so than three, than the middling of it.
I'm going option one. Option one.
So you're no longer middling.
This year sucked.
I mean, because here's the thing.
Middling that this year
defense,
sucked.
That defense turned out to not be good enough anyway. They weren't good enough.
That's what I'm saying.
They weren't good enough to win when it mattered most.
And if Bill's going to these older veterans and saying, you know, we on defense, guys, we need to cut some salary here. Okay, here's a final.
Let's not talk about them like they were a great defense because it turned out they were a bit of a fraud.
You're getting that month of film out this past month and say, look at this last drive against Dolphins. We can't tackle Henry. Our freaking wild card game. Can't stop him. Can't get off the field on third down. Ryan freaking Tannehill, right over the middle, hits the tight end. Okay, it's not good enough. So there's got to be some sort of a balance there and understanding with these vets that have, you know, helped you get three rings. That's a tough part for them. They like playing here. They like the group. You go somewhere else, are you going to fade out? Better to fade out here, right?
Can I give you one option? One reason why option four is a legitimate reason?
Yeah, you could try.
Okay, do you want Belichick to be the master of the rebuild? The full rebuild.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So is he going to be around to rebuild?
Why?
And if they middle it or they go one side of the ball.
He ain't going anywhere.
That's assuming that there has to be a full rebuild. You have to tear it down and build it back up. Why do they have to do that? Is that required? Does every team have to do that?
No, if everything works out perfectly, then you're good.
No,
if you can rebuild the defense with all these young players and they all work out, then yeah, you can rebuild. This is rebuilding the defense 1 year. And then you rebuild the offense down the road.
I mean, they have double-digit wins every year, even in their rebuild years. So, no.
Under Belichick, yes.
Yes.
So Belichick can coach them.
Well, why does he need to strip it down and build it back up?
He could coach them to 10 wins.
Always.
Losing a ton of players. Yeah. In this division. Still going to beat Miami twice. Get split with Buffalo, should sweep the Jets.
Say we come to a year, like 4 years from now, where it's a year like this.
Okay.
Somebody needs to make that decision down the road.
Well,
that's not going to be Belichick.
See, that's the problem.
Right?
Is if you and at that point you're going to be seeing the high end of that Brady money, that dead money. Like, ooh, there's your cap hit. But let's ride that sucker out for 2 years. If he's coming back,
if you have a young quarterback, it doesn't matter.
Right. You could give him $1 million salary.
If you find a way to draft another young quarterback that you like, you'll be fine.
See, and that's the thing. So you sit there, 22, 20? I think they're 23rd in the draft this year. You've drafted offense. It's time to draft defense. Not drafting a quarterback. Seeing all these mock drafts. Quarterback, quarterback. No, you're not. I'd rather roll Stidham. Draft one of these guys. Don't start with the Tua stuff, okay? Don't hear that. All 5'10" of him.
I'm with you guys, by the way. I want to see Brady retire as a Patriot, so that's the most likely option that that has him retiring as a Patriot. So I go with that option.
And I think he wants to. Because bottom line, to what we've talked about, this is the one thing that stuck with me this week. When he walks in here on a Wednesday and he hears the coach give the, you know, the game plan. Wow, we were so much better coached in New England. You know, what do you think Anthony Lynn's going to give you that? Now, is he going to put the time in the offseason to implement his own offense? Because that's, you read all the articles, offense goes with him, right? That's, you just don't show up in June.
He's not going to run Shane Steichen's offense with the Chargers?
Yeah, that'd be fun. Hey, Shane, how you doing?
617-779.
That's my Dallas theory, though. Yeah.
0985 is the telephone number. We'll get back to your calls and continue talking about this and how the Patriots should approach their offseason and which option you want to take. If you want to sacrifice defensive players to bring Tom Brady back, yes or no? We're talking about that to start the day here on Zolak and Bertrand. Hardy has headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Something.
You gotta wear your lucky jersey. Don't wash the lucky socks.
Rub your ball 16 times. Yeah.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's home for sports.
We'll get to a couple Red Sox items at the top of the hour. Bob Nightingale reports that the Red Sox are expected to stay within the organization and promote Ron Renicke or Carlos Fabelis as their next manager.
Good. Makes sense.
It's going to be one of the two, but that doesn't mean they've decided.
No.
So we'll talk about that also more on the trade that, according to some reports last night, was, you know, possibly falling apart. I don't think that's going to happen, but we'll get to that in a little bit. 617-779-0985. Ryan in North Attleboro. Hi, Ryan. All right, we'll put Ryan on hold, see if we can go back to him. Josh is in Worcester. Hi, Josh.
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey.
I just want to talk about the whole contract thing you guys talked about.
Yep.
It's a little bit harder than you guys are making it seem, you know what I mean? Like, the Patriots have had the easiest division in football for the past 20 years. I mean, you play against the Jets, the Bills, and the Dolphins. That's, you know, cake. And, like, I don't know, you guys get the easiest schedule every single year. You win the Super Bowl and you come back with the 32nd easiest schedule, you know what I mean? So, like...
Oh, you see the schedule this year?
Well, I mean, yeah, you got to go against the NFC West. That's
yeah, pretty tough. All road games.
Pretty tough. You
at
know
Kansas
I mean?
City. So, like, at Houston.
Yeah, it's a little bit tougher than just, you know, retooling this and that. Like,
you it ain't easy.
A lot more help than you think. Like, you need offense. You have no offense. Tom Brady's out there throwing ducks. Defense played okay, but, I mean, you didn't play against anybody, so really.
Who are you a fan of?
I'm a Seahawks fan.
Nice. Well, I mean, that's a good point. I think the Seahawks went down, had a dip, and Pete had to blow up that defense. They all want it paid. Once you paid Earl Thomas, you had to pay Cam Chancellor. What do you think Sherman was making? Why do you think Sherman's still so angry? They said he couldn't do it. Tore his Achilles. He was done. Nah. Motivated him. You know, Bobby Wagner, that's all you got. And he added some pieces. Ended up getting Clowney. So then you sort of start to reload and start to put the pieces back together. Seahawks is a good current example of a team that had to reset on one side of the ball or the other. Because guess what? Money's going to the quarterback now. Now, you break that type of record and that type of contract But Russ Wilson, and he deserves it. You know, if that's the market, that's the market. So they had to rebuild their defense, and Pete did a good job of it.
Let's try Ryan again. Hey, Ryan.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi. So anyways, I have a I wanted to throw out a scenario on a possible Tom Brady move. So I was thinking, what if Tom Brady signs with the 49ers for like a 2-3 year deal, and the 49ers send Jimmy back to the Patriots?
Why would the 49ers do that?
Well, here's what I'm thinking. So the big talk after the Super Bowl was that, if Tom Brady had been the quarterback, would they have won? I'd more think, what if Belichick was the coach, would they have won? So it kind of serves two purposes. Jimmy gets to develop under a better coach, and the 49ers possibly get to get a Super Bowl within the next, one or two seasons without having to, retool everything. It's just something I want to throw out. That's all I got. Thanks for having me.
And this has been talked about, since the Super Bowl. Sort of like, they kind of tied Jimmy's hands. They were afraid to let him go, afraid to turn him loose. Threw the ball only 8 times in the NFC Championship game. I think they love Jimmy Garoppolo. Or else they wouldn't give him the contract that they gave him after those 5 games he started. Man, they love Garoppolo. Why would they want to? You got your young guy. Like, those guys are hard to find.
Well, you can love him and say, this guy is, for all the reasons they loved him in New England, he's a great worker, comes in, studies hard, works hard, teammates like him, all those things. He's got talent, obviously.
There's a lot of good things, and there are some just things that stick out about Garoppolo that scare the hell out of you.
See? That's the thing. And then we got into a Super Bowl, and guess what? When Patrick Mahomes needed to make a throw, he made a throw. The same way Tom Brady, when he needs to make a throw, when the game is on the line, he makes a throw to Rob Gronkowski.
Oh, man.
The same way.
Does Lynch have the balls?
The same way Patrick Mahomes made throws to on a 3rd and 15 to Tyreek Hill. And by the way, I've watched the NFL films on that.
Mm-hmm.
Have you guys seen it? You guys watch it?
The outside guy didn't sink.
Now, did you watch Mahomes go to the sideline? And he says, we got to run WASP. And they said, well, we don't know what the situation is because the review was taking place before that. Remember that?
Yeah.
And he goes, I don't care the down and distance. We got to run it. He just said, I don't care. 3rd and 15 or it's 1st and 10. We got to run this thing.
Does Garoppolo do that?
And so I watched that and I thought the exact thing you just said.
Does he wait and stare at his wrist?
I said, does Jimmy Garoppolo go to Kyle Shanahan on the sideline and say, we got to run WASP?
No. And I say, no.
Does he say that?
And you know why no? Because he's so in tune to his play sheet, meaning Shanahan, as Andy Reid is. Andy Reid's more of an innovator, and he lets this kid cut loose. We've seen Mahomes over a two-year span improvise. Jimmy doesn't improvise. It is systematic, and it's hard system.
By the
play
way.
Play fake, boot, ball in the flat.
Whose fault is that, though? Is that Jimmy's
Shanahan.
Fault, or is that Shanahan's?
No, but that's
Reid
the thing.
Seems to encourage guys to do that stuff, right?
Right.
He seems
yes.
like a coach that would encourage that.
He embraces it, yes.
Shanahan seems like a control freak.
But Shanahan is trying to build something there, so I understand why he does that. It's a very safe.
It's like Brady saying to Belichick, why don't you just kick the field goal? Kick the field goal.
Yeah. Win the game.
And it was Eric Bieniemy that he was there talking to on the sideline. Yeah. It wasn't Reed, but obviously play caller.
Yeah.
And he goes over and he's like, we got to run it. And then they flash back. NFL Films is going to run it on Turning Point. They flash back to the AFC title
those.
Game last year.
Yeah.
They ran it against the Patriots last year, and Tyreek Hill went right by Devin McCourty, and McCourty goes to the sideline. He's like, there's nothing I could do there. He's like, this guy's so fast. He's like, I had a turn. He's like, and I turned, and he turned and went the other way. And he's like, and he's saying to the teammates on the sideline in the game, he goes, that's just a good route. That's just getting beat. Like, there was nothing we could do to beat that.
That's great that they saved that, because Andy Reid is known for wasting all of his plays early in the season, early in games. But they obviously saved it for a critical point in the game.
Yeah.
And that's some growth by Andy Reid coaching.
And would they have used it without the urging of the quarterback saying, well, let's run it here. Based on where they were on the field is what I think he was thinking. And on the clock. And, man, I just got to say, I watched that thing, and they show Jimmy Garoppolo up 10 in the second half, like, oh, just so cool and laughing. And Mahomes is locked in, man. Mahomes never thought they were going to lose that game. He really didn't. He believed they were going to win that game. He's like, let's go.
Yeah, that's no blip. That's no fluke. He did it 3 straight games. And that's what he is. So
I don't think Jimmy G has that.
If you're Lynch,
I told you, I didn't think Jimmy G seemed pissed off enough or emotional enough after losing the Super Bowl.
His post-game press conference felt like a Wednesday prior to the game press conference. Well, we'll learn from it. We'll get past it. You know, we'll keep going. That's Brady. It's like, no. Yeah, we just didn't make
that. And so that's to answer that question. This is a very long way of answering that question. Why would you move on from Garoppolo, even if you like him a lot? Because you found something better.
Because he...
That's why.
We've decided that we've been good with him. We just don't feel he's a get-over-the-hump guy. If we could get Brady in here, that's a guy that could... We may have to ride him a game. But that guy knows what plays to get us into or out of. Game management standpoint, leadership standpoint. I'm not... This is not a smear on Garoppolo. Okay? This is like just, hey, we haven't seen Jimmy here for 2 years. But what he absorbed for 4 years and talked about with Brady, we didn't see it come out in the NFC title game or the Super Bowl.
John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan talked about not calling a timeout before the half. There's new audio of that.
Sure you want to get to this
I mean,
one,
we're right? Almost a week later.
No. But it's out there now.
They probably should have explained this better right after the game. They didn't, and now they have, though.
Well, it's coffee time with the coach.
Yeah, coffee time. Coffee time with Shanahan. Coffee with Kyle. And so
Kyle likes his coffee. Always has a cup.
We can hear that coming up. Yeah. Also, the latest on the Red Sox at 11.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Do we have time to run Wasp?
Wasp is a double move route for Tyreek Hill, attacking deep down the field.
If it's first and 10, Wasp, or any down the distance, I don't care.
Run it!
Jimmy G's not doing that.
No! And you get such a Woody as a coach hearing that.
Oh, God, call it!
Just call it, guys. We need a play here.
Kid's feeling
gonna
it.
Break this thing open.
Was he 8 of 8 prior to that? Yes, run it. Run it, run it.
617-779-0985. Kyle Shanahan and his boss, John Lynch. They've got some things to say about not calling a timeout before halftime in the Super Bowl. Let's hear from Lynch first.
I think it's just like as if I was a player looking at the sideline saying, timeout, timeout. I was thrilled for our guys. I get excited watching these games. Not much I can do up there, but I've got these guys' backs. It's not my role to do time management, and I don't focus a lot on it. So I was proud of our guys getting a big stop. That was my initial reaction. Prague's over there. Prague does study a lot of time management, so I'm also asking him, should we get the timeout? You know, and so that's all it was. It quickly was erased when they almost pinned us at the half-yard line. You know, Kyle knows that. And, I watched the game with emotion because I care, and that's all that was.
So that's him explaining why he was on national television during the Super Bowl broadcast going, timeout, timeout.
That's your natural reaction.
Timeout.
You got 2 minutes left, and you got a three and out. Like,
he's saying, I'm a fan, I'm a defensive guy. He's coming up with all the excuses for why he felt the way that he felt. So let's hear from the guy who actually made the decision to not call the timeout before the punt or after the punt.
No, absolutely not. I think that was one of the reasons we were up 10 points going into the fourth quarter. Absolutely wanted to call a timeout at that time because we were expecting to be backed up and inside the 10, just like probably should have been at the 1 if they didn't mess that play up. So, no, as confident as what we did in that situation as anything we've done all year, and I mean that strongly. That's something you work at all for 2 weeks studying that team, what they're capable of doing. You're not going to give the ball back to them no matter what in that situation. The way he did that 3rd and 15 at the end of the game is how he does a 2-minute drive. And felt extremely good with how we went. Not using the timeout there was a no-brainer. But then trying to work the clock. If we would have got an explosive run on the first one, then it would have been a whole different deal. But we got a 2.5-yard run. And so the whole goal was to not let them call a timeout there. So you hurry to the line to act like you're going, but then you don't. So you can ensure that Mahomes won't have an opportunity. And then we run a ball, and then we make them use one of their timeouts. Now it's third down, and at least we've made them use one of their timeouts. We've taken enough time off that if we don't get this, it's going to be harder. But it's still a lot of pressure. You got to move the chains there. They brought a corner blitz. Jeff did an awesome job. We got a big play, and it ended up having an opportunity to score if we don't get the offensive PI.
He's afraid of Mahomes.
Wouldn't you be?
That's why Belichick went for it on 4th and 2 at his own 28, afraid of Manning. I want to give the ball to that guy. We're better off doing what we do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if they pin him at the 1.
Not only that, he wanted to waste time and get them to use one of their timeouts.
Yeah.
And still score.
And he still chucked at the Kittle on that post corner. Don't forget. I mean, they got called for the PI. Because Jimmy on that 2nd down after the non-explosive run hit Kittle on that post corner. That was the best throw of the night. So,
field position mattered there. The question I would ask him is, what did the field position need to be for you to try and do something there and run your own 2-minute offense before the half? Where's that line?
I'd be back on their own 20 if they had the ball to 23 and out. Yeah,
is it though? I mean, I'm wondering.
If you're punting from your own 20, you're catching that ball to your own 30 at least. Then you're burning time out.
He said he expected to get pinned back inside the 10.
See, and then you have the risk of blowing it up and getting your running
back
tackled.
Because it was a touchback.
Yeah, but if you're inside the 1, though.
But no, it's about the expectation. Where do you expect to get the ball?
About the 8.
If he had expected, no, but I'm saying if they were 10 or 15 yards back from where they had punted.
Yeah.
And the expectation for him is, we're going to get the ball at the 20, 25. Is that enough for him, based on the field position, to call the timeout before the punt? That's the answer I think we all would love to know.
I get your own 30. I think it's your own 30, and maybe we take the handcuffs off Jimmy a little bit there.
That's the analytics that you don't think about
right
until now.
Right.
But I'm sure that's all figured out. He probably has a chart.
He said
I know.
That's what we did for 2 weeks.
He does.
He said we spent 2 weeks getting ready for that.
I assume there's an... Like, that to me is a worthwhile analytical endeavor, right?
Yeah.
That to me is an... You know, they call that analytics. That's just sort of setting parameters for yourself on field position.
And there's nothing worse as a player, especially a quarterback, than taking the field backed up on your own 1 or inside your 5. Because there's 18 million different concerns that go into your head.
I would say if it's being decided by analytics where, well, if you get the ball between this yard line and this, I'm wondering more about what he's setting it on.
Yeah.
Because he might not be setting it on any sort of what's happened when you run it through the computer 1,000 times. It's just, what do I think is a good call and where do we want to be to give Jimmy a chance, in our opinion?
He said those types of decisions are why we were winning 20-10 in the 4th quarter.
Basically. I did hear that.
Okay.
Well, he said because of that decision, he thinks it's why they're up 20-10. If they had decided to call the timeout and give the ball back, they would have been either had a smaller lead or maybe worse.
To our caller's point earlier about the Brady flip-flop for Garoppolo, if Shanahan has Brady there in that same example, does he call timeout?
You know what I would say to him is, well, what did the chart say about you losing the game? Because that happened. Well,
he's obviously he was
the chart
terrified.
Tells you that's why you're up 20-10. Did the chart also tell you were about to lose?
Terrified of Mahomes.
Right? Don't you love that? Well, you know, those decisions and these analytics and these decisions we make. That's why we're up 20-10. Well, then why did you lose? Where's the script on that, if you don't mind? 617-779-0985. Andrew in Milton. Andrew.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hi.
I've got a slight dark horse for this whole Brady watch thing. So how about Minnesota? I know they've got Cousins. Maybe they could, like, attach a draft pick to him and ship him out. They've got a good team over there. They got
That's the Chris Dillon. Gasper dark horse, the Vikings.
Well, I don't think Giselle would be too crazy about that, but, I mean... They've got a pretty good team over there, and I think Zimmer's a decent coach. I mean, Cousins kind of stinks. I mean, what do you guys think? Maybe they could like do the old Brock Osweiler.
What do you think? Cousins' numbers towards the end of the year, he got hot. That guy got hot the last month.
Yeah, but I mean, they were down like double digit points in the playoffs, and my man's throwing checkdowns. You know what I mean? I mean, I don't know. That's just a thought. I just want to hear what you guys think about that.
Well, if the checkdown is all that's there, that's what you do. I don't think he was the reason why they were so bad at times in the playoffs.
No.
The 1 o'clock window, though, as we know for him, is huge. Forget the Kirk Cousins element of it for a minute. Would Brady go to Minnesota?
I don't think so.
If family were not a consideration, would he go to Minnesota?
I don't think
so. By the way, his mom is from there.
Yeah.
I'm talking about his wife and his kids. I mean, why?
His extended family. We saw that when we were in Minnesota.
The
remember?
Hell
yeah.
Would they want to go to Minnesota? Like, why would...
Maybe you're a big Prince fan.
Minnesota.
Maybe they like that mall. It's a nice mall. Maybe once you ride that roller coaster going that zip line, I'm like, I don't know what you need to do after that.
What else is in town after that?
Ice fishing tournament.
I mean,
derby?
Good people there. Great people.
Hello. Good to see you.
What? Where do we go? To Finland? What happened there?
Minnesota. The lakes. Go do some ice fishing.
Apparently the people there in Minnesota spoke like Tuukka Rask.
What, at Finland?
It helps
Alaska.
If we do like a role play. So I'll be you and you be the person.
What if Morgan Freeman lived in Minnesota?
I don't know.
You're just going to be the clerk at the hotel.
Yeah, you are.
Hey, I'm Scott Zolak. I'm here checking my room. We're here for the week for the Super Bowl.
Oh, it's good to see you folk come into town. Let me get your key printed out for you.
That's a Minnesota accent?
Jim, find some Minnesota voices.
No. We want you to keep doing yours.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Oh, okay. Hey, can I get a king-size bed?
Of course you could. You look like a long fellow, a stretching fellow. We'll get you the big bed. We have one of those extended California kings. And we got the nice foot thing at the end of the bed. You could sit down, push that up, put your feet on that.
You got a nice bucket in the room? I like to use one of those bags.
Oh, yes, sir. We have the big ice fishing festival. It comes around every year. They got the big auger bit. They drill it down. They put a nice little shed there for you, and you drop the bait down in the hole. Lutefisk is the best stuff.
You got complimentary hand lotion up there in the room?
We get extra on the cart. You make friends with the lady down the hallway, and she'll give it to you in the morning.
Good spot between the mattress and the box spring?
Yeah, you take the bag, though.
Shoe bag. Sort of.
And nice folk. Nice people.
He's about to draw a diagram for you.
Wow.
90 seconds, no commercials. Hardy has your headlines. What the hell's going on with the Red Sox? We'll update you next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.